Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show. Last Exit to Brooklyn, or LE2B, as we're calling it now, because it's like cleaner. What's up? What's up, Eric? How you doing?
I'm great. LE2B, that's like, now I'm starting to remember something. Remember New Kids on the Block?
Yeah, they changed it to NKOTB.
I'm like, maybe that's not a great idea, but no.
Because they weren't kids anymore. They were like men. Yeah. NKOT. Yeah, I remember when they did that. That happens a lot. Wasn't there another thing where they changed it to like the initials? KFC?
Yeah.
They changed it from Kentucky Fried. And then AMC used to be American Movie Classics, but it's not that anymore.
Right, because they stopped playing classics. They're like,
It's just I was watching Piranha on there. Yeah, they definitely stopped playing classics. They stopped playing Shawshank Redemption every week. what's going on? A few things. So, you know, this is the last episode of the year. It's December 30th.
Yeah.
And so this is our big year end wrap up. 2020. Yeah. It's been quite a year. Yeah. This is going down as the worst year in the history of the world. What is your personal experience of it been? Mine has been kind of bad, but
yeah, I mean, I think you probably had worse than a lot of people.
But
you didn't get COVID, though.
No, not yet. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. But yeah, I got tested a couple weeks ago and I didn't get it. I hadn't had it.
Did you get the antibody test?
I did when I first got back and they said that I didn't have them. So that I never had had it. Did you get that?
I never got that one. But then I heard from someone that if you had COVID in March, now the antibody test wouldn't even tell you anything because the test, you have to do it a certain amount after you get COVID.
I guess that's the main thing why people say 2020 is so bad. And just a lot, you know, I guess Kobe Bryant, which I mean is bad, but it, you know, it didn't really affect me, you know. I mean, I'm not sure, you know, like I liked Kobe Bryant, fine, but I mean, it's not like it ruined my life.
If Kobe Bryant was the worst thing that happened to you in 2020, you had a pretty good year.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, I mean, it was a crazy death. You know what I mean? I actually was thinking about him the other day and then I like had forgotten he was dead, which was kind of, I was like, oh man, that's so weird. He's dead.
Right before, I mean, that was going to be like the story of the year. That happened, in February?
Things were so shitty and chaotic. Sean Connery died, and I feel like no one even like talked about it.
Yeah, well, he was 90, though. I mean,
I know, but he was a pretty big icon.
Huge.
You know, like, I just kind of heard he died.
And then Marianne died today from Gilligan's Island.
Dawn, what's her
Dawn
name?
Wells, I think.
Dawn Wells, yeah.
Died of COVID at 82.
Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy.
Famous people kind of died from COVID. No one gave a fuck. Like they had a list recently, and it was like
I was looking up who else died.
I know that he was like a playwright, Terrence McNally.
He died. Yeah, it's not. Yeah,
it was a bunch of them though.
Why doesn't any of the big ones die? You know,
like
I don't know, like Leonardo DiCaprio. I mean, like that would be a big story. You know what I mean? That would get a lot more people to wear masks. I think wouldn't it? I don't know.
Well, that congressman just died. Did you hear about that?
No, who?
There was some Republican congressman. He was 41 years old. Fucking died of COVID. He got it like 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks later, he's dead.
Yeah, you know, it has been a really bad year. And it's just kind of, you know, exponentially has become like, you know, thought of as like the worst year in the world and in the history of the world. And I flew today home, you know, it's December 30th. And I almost felt like I was like tempting fate a little bit. Like, oh, I'm going to fucking fly like the second to last day of 2020.
Yeah,
where everyone's like, oh, what could go wrong? You know, and we took off. And I mean, the turbulence was so bad because I already had that in my head. It was like in the beginning, it was like, I mean, it like was bad. I get really freaked out by, I don't know if you, I'm not
no,
like,
I do.
You do?
Yeah.
I get really like, I'm not like terrified of flying, but When it gets turbulent, I really freak out.
Because it sounds, it feels like the plane is going to crash. It really does, doesn't it?
Yes. You feel like, because I don't know anything about like planes and, you know, what's going on. So, yeah, it feels like it's out of control and that at any second. And it was going on for, I mean, it stopped, but for a little while. I was on Spirit Airlines. I talked about this last time. Yeah. And like, so bad. this is the thing I forgot.
And also, that would be
it.
Really, like you were saying, a really bad way to die. Like December 30th. And not even from COVID, from a fucking plane crash.
Right. I just figure like 2020, like, oh, of course, like, yeah, you know, it's like the second to last day. But their seats don't go bad. That's how shitty they are. It's like, it's the most uncomfortable seat you've ever been in. And, you know, at least like the other ones will go back a little bit, even though that does nothing either. But these don't go back. So,
yeah, that's not a good sign.
Yeah, that's like a bad design for your airline.
You know,
like, yeah, like, what about the seats? You know, like every seat in airplanes goes back. Yeah, we're not doing that.
Well, because a couple of years ago, I was on a plane. This is like 2 or 3 years ago. I was on a plane, and I swear to you, they had, you remember on planes, they used to have the ashtray holders in the plane. And it was there. You can't use them, but it showed you how old the plane was.
Oh, right. That's a bad sign because they stopped that when in like the 80s. Yeah.
So you see that, you're like, how old is this plane that they still have the thing? You know, that's what I kind of think with Spirit. It's like maybe that plane started before they had reclining seats. Like it was so.
Right, right. Yeah, that's pretty old. They still had the, I don't know, whites only sign in the front. This is an old plane. So it's a bad, it was fine, but yeah, I do get freaked out. Turbulence does freak me out. Have you ever been in really bad turbulence?
Yeah.
Where it was like, it wouldn't stop.
No, you feel like you're going down.
It's weird too. Cause there's that moment of like, no one, you kind of are like trying to pretend like it's fine. And you're kind of like looking around and seeing other people being like, okay, yeah, no, this is fine. You're like, well, when is it going to, like, when are people going to start freaking out?
I got a question for you. Where would you rather crash, into a mountain or in the ocean? Because I have an answer for that, but I want to know if you care.
I'd say the ocean, like, because the mountain, you have no chance, right? Do you mean like where you could live?
No, just, I feel like you're going to die both ways. I don't like being over the ocean. I feel like I don't want to die in a watery grave. Like, I feel like that's the worst way to go.
So you want to die in a fiery grave?
I just feel like, I don't know. There's something about it. That's why when there's turbulence over the ocean, I get really extra nervous.
Oh yeah. No, I hate that. Like international flights. Yeah. That's really scary to me. I flew to China like a year ago and I woke up and it was like bad turbulence and it was like pouring out. It was night. And I could look outside. I just couldn't see anything. And it was really bad. And I was like, wow, this like,
isn't it kind of amazing?
Go really bad. What?
Yeah, you're like amazed, like how planes can do that. Like how they can fly through all that.
I've heard that like turbulence doesn't really mean it's not as bad as it seems like, you know what I mean?
Right.
But I don't know. When does it get bad? You know, because if you are going to crash, it's going to be turbulent, you know?
Right.
So I don't know. I just feel like they don't reassure you as much as maybe they should. And I'm not even that afraid of flying. I can imagine like if you are afraid of flying, if that happens, because some people, even when everything goes right, are like terrified.
Right, right. But and then someone told me that like most plane crashes happen either on takeoffs or landings. So when you're in the middle of whatever, you're 50,000 feet in the air and there's like, that's unlikely that you're going to crash. I don't know how that is, but that's what someone told me.
Yeah. You know, I heard that too. You know where I got that from was the movie Say Anything.
Was it really?
That's where he says it at the end of Say Anything.
Oh, maybe that's where I got it from.
Probably. You know who told me that? Lloyd Dobler. No, where, do you know at the end they're flying and she's terrified of flying. And he's like, statistically speaking, most crashes happen in the first 5 minutes. So the whole thing is they're like, when you hear the ding go off, which is like the you know, you can take off your seatbelts, it means you're going to be okay, you know?
Oh, I see. Yeah, I think I remember that part.
So they're
yeah.
taking off, and then it's like, once the ding happens, you're going to be okay, and then it dings, and the movie ends. So it's like, they're going to be okay.
Yeah.
That's what it means. But yeah, that's always what I think of, is that, and I don't mind landing. People are afraid of landing. I mean, landing's good, because you're like, you know, you're going to the ground.
Yeah. You ever like looking out the window and you're like, well, if the landing's fucked up, I feel like the terrain is not so bad. I think I can get out of this one.
Yeah.
You kind of like do the math in your head. You're like, yeah, that's, you know, that's why I don't like when they land. Like, you ever fly into LaGuardia?
Yeah, that's today I did, where they land right at the water.
Yeah, I don't like that, because then I feel like you could miss and hit the water, you know?
Oddly, I wasn't like scared today. Usually when it goes down around the city, I get a little like freaked out, but I really was. I also remember like I flew a lot as a kid, and trying to like, I don't remember. I wonder where you go from like not, you know, not being aware of the danger of flying to being aware of it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because like when I was a kid, I just never even thought about it. Yeah. And then I wonder when it was that I finally was like finally thought like, oh, wait, this can like go bad.
But that can go away, because I once had a job where I traveled all the time, and then you don't think about it anymore, because it's like hailing a cab. It's not, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I fly enough that I'm not like that freaked out by it. I don't like it now. It was really annoying. I barely made my flight because the security. And
yeah, what do they do now? Do they?
They're really. It's slower than ever. Like. But there's no social distancing. Everyone is just right on top of each other. They've done this thing where they have bigger bins, and you have to put your bag in the bin. I don't know what. That seems to be the only thing that has changed. And then it's just slower, a lot slower.
But wearing masks, though, they must be.
Yeah, I guess so. But yeah. I almost missed my flight too, and that was another thing. We got turbulence. I was like, oh, great. This is going to be that story of like, I just made the flight.
Yeah, the one that killed you.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, well, all right, I got out. You know, like the guy, the Richie Valens thing, where he like wins the coin toss.
Oh, right. Wasn't there a movie? Wasn't that Final Destination, where they were supposed to get on the plane and it crashed, and then all this weird shit happened because they weren't on the plane or something?
Yeah, he's like on it, and then he has a nightmare that the plane crashes, and then he gets up and he's like, oh, I gotta get off. And then like they kick him and his friends off, and then the plane does crash, and then Death is like pissed off because they were supposed to die. So it comes. I mean, it was really, they made like five of them.
Death was pissed off.
That's basically what it is. Death, like it's like they cheated Death. So right. Now Death is like coming to kill them, you know, and they have to watch out.
They made five. Yeah, they made a lot of those, right?
Yeah, they made a lot. So there are a few things we were going to talk about. One of them was, all right. So I saw Wonder Woman 84. Yeah. You saw it, right? What did you think of it? You think that chick's hot, right? I mean,
yeah, she's really hot.
She's really ugly.
Yeah. I felt like the first hour wasn't too bad, but then it just really kind of fell apart. I think a lot of people didn't like it.
Yeah, I didn't think it was that great. It was, I get the whole like 1984 part. I mean, I didn't really get, because they don't really do much with it. They have like one montage of him trying on a bunch of 80s clothes.
I know, that was so bad.
Like, that was just kind of the extent of it. It just didn't seem like, first of all, how did she get to 84? Do they explain and I missed it?
No, I mean, the original movie was set in World War One.
Yeah.
And
so how does she go there?
I think that she doesn't age. Like, she's, you know, I think that's.
I mean, oh, she doesn't?
I don't think so. Or,
but she was a kid.
Maybe she ages slowly. I don't know.
Yeah, they didn't really explain that, because she's a kid. And then they show when she's a kid, she's around the other people from the planet and they look old. So I don't know. I guess that's just not explained. And then one thing I thought was kind of weird, and they don't really address it. I guess I shouldn't be that upset about it, because it's not. But the fact that so she wishes for the boyfriend to come back, and then he comes back in another guy's body.
Right.
But Like, so, but there's never any mention of like there's just some guy who was living and now he's that guy.
Yeah, but
it's like, so now that guy just doesn't have a life anymore.
well, at the end, he's normal though, right? I mean, spoiler, who cares? Yeah.
That was the least realistic part of that movie, is at the end when she's like, sees him and she's being all flirty to him. And he's just like, hey, how are you? Nice to see you. Like, that guy would totally be trying to bang her the whole time. Cause she's like, starts talking to him and she's like, hey, I really like your outfit. And he's like, oh, thank you very much.
Right.
Did you think of that too?
You know, at that point, I was like, how long is this movie? I'm like, I wasn't really paying attention. No, I just, yeah, I was her. Like,
oh, so he didn't hit on her? That's odd.
I mean, but the Wonder Woman outfit is a sexy outfit. It's probably the sexiest superhero outfit.
Yeah, yeah. She was wearing another outfit that I thought was hotter, like this full, like, gold thing or something.
Right, that was pretty hot, too, yeah. Kristen Wiig was hot in that movie.
Yeah, Kristen Wiig looks really hot. Kristen Wiig has, I don't know, like, become really hot in the last few years.
Yeah.
Or she's like playing it up or something. I thought she was good in it, but it was, again, it was like she was kind of funny, and then they stopped making it a funny part, which was weird to me.
Right. Well, the thing was for fans is that character that she played, she really wasn't in character for that long. It was at the end of the movie that she turned into, was it Cheetah, I guess?
Is that a character from?
Yeah, it's like the big supervillain. So I think some people were upset that she only turned into Cheetah like the last 5 minutes of the movie.
Yeah.
But my feeling was that they wanted Kristen Wiig to kind of do her thing.
Right.
And when she's in that costume, people don't really, it doesn't really look like
it. Did seem weird at the end when she was just like Cheetah. I was like, oh, this is kind of weird.
Yeah.
She looked weird and she wasn't funny anymore.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought it was okay. Oh, no. So, yeah, I just felt like weird about it. So that guy, there's never any talk of like, oh, now you've just taken over this guy's life and he's not alive anymore. Like, doesn't he have like a family who's like, what, you know, but there's never any concern for it.
Yeah, I can't even believe I wouldn't even think of that. It's weird. Yeah.
And then she sees him as the other guy, even though he's not really looking like that.
But how about that other character, the Max Lord, which I read was that he's an actual supervillain and superhero lore, but he seemed very like, that seemed like a very Trump, like a Trump kind of character.
Yeah, totally. They were kind of making it Trump, but not like overtly Trump, because they made him like Latino, right?
And right. But they claim that they weren't doing that, and I think they're
right.
They're,
yeah, his lying. Hair looks like exactly. He's kinda, isn't he the whole thing? He's like a reality TV guy.
Yeah, and he looked like Trump did in 1984. Like,
yeah, he looks like Trump.
Yeah,
and
but they didn't want to get in trouble, so they're like, no, it wasn't based on Trump. It wasn't. I'm like, yeah, it kind of was.
Oh no, I think they definitely were bullshitting. Yeah, I thought it was like okay. I wasn't like, I thought the first one was better. I kind of liked the first one. But I mean, there's really nothing to it. It was really long. One thing was weird about it too, it was like they had villains, but the villains kind of get off at the end. Nothing really happens to them, right? Don't they just kind of go back to normal at the end?
Yeah, like the Trump guy was like, he hung out with his kids and that was
it. Yeah, and doesn't Kristen Wiig even kind of get off? Like, she's just kind of normal again?
Yeah, I kind of see that, because maybe people like Kristen Wiig and they don't want to kill off the character, but they could have easily killed off the other character. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting how they didn't really kill off the villains. Yeah, and there was definitely a message like that kind of applies to now, like, we all have to, you know, like, because everyone's like really selfish and just trying, you know, wants their life to be a certain way.
Right.
The only way we can save it is if we all work together. Yeah. It was like, so yeah, there was that. And then there's nothing really else out, right?
There's a lot of movies out now, but a lot of Oscar bait that they've put on.
Like what? What's.
There's a few of them. I know there's that Ma Rainey movie, which I have to go want to see. That one is on Netflix. There's a few others.
I saw like the one with Kevin Costner, Let Him Go.
Oh, okay. Was that good?
Yeah, it was actually pretty good. It's a very like, you know, straightforward story. It's like, it's a kind of a bad title. It's kind of like their son is married to a woman and they have a kid and then the son dies. And so the woman remarries this like shit, this guy who's like kind of like abusive and is from a shitty family.
Is it? So don't tell me too much. Cause kind of that what I want to see.
Yeah. I mean, it's a very straightforward plot.
Is that supposed to be like an Oscar movie?
I don't know. I guess so. I mean, I just feel like what else is, there's not really that, you know, this was always a time of year where they released all the big movies.
No. Well, they, at least the Oscar bait movies. I thought what happened to West Side Story? Did they move that?
They moved it. Yeah. They moved like everything. I don't know. I guess they think, yeah. I think they think the movie industry is going to be back in like 2 months, but
yeah.
I went to a movie theater in Dallas. I was like, oh, I'm going to see a movie. And I looked at what they had and I was like, I don't want to see any. Like Wonder Woman was playing. I just was like, I'm just going to watch it at home for free. There was like a Tom Hanks movie that looks okay.
Right. It's kind of like, you don't want to risk COVID to see the Tom Hanks Western movie. It seems.
Yeah, and it actually seems very similar to the plot of Let Him Go. So I don't know. I don't know. Are they going to have the Oscars this year? It's going to be so shitty.
Yeah, well, you know how they changed all the rules that you don't have to be released for this year only. You don't have to be in the theater. So you're going to just see a lot of this will probably be the first year where you've seen most of the movies because they'll all be on Netflix by the time the Oscars are out.
I heard something happened too. There's like LA apparently is like a mess, like is like having the worst COVID.
Yeah, they're going to shut down. I heard again the production. So
they're going to shut down the industry again. Too bad.
Yeah. Tom Cruise was keeping it alive himself.
I know. With that shitty movie. I just rewatched that movie Risky Business last night.
That's where I just watched that too.
On
HBO Max. How crazy is that?
When did you watch it?
2 days ago.
Yeah, I watched it. I think, 2 days ago I watched it.
Yeah. Good movie, by the way.
That's one of my favorite movies, actually. It holds up too.
It does. It was like a lot of those sex teen movies from the 80s.
Yeah.
A lot of them were very one-dimensional. But this one wasn't. This is legitimately a good movie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's totally not even like a teen sex movie. I mean, like there's barely any, there's like one nude scene and it's very like stylized and he's really good. Everyone's really good in it, but he's like really good in it.
I mean, that movie made him a star. I mean,
totally.
I was thinking about that scene where he dances in his underwear, which really has nothing to do with any of the movie. You know? But that was what made him a star. And I was wondering, like, when he was doing this, did he think this is it? This is what's going to do it? I don't know.
Probably not.
Yeah.
I feel like it's always like, it's usually when you're like, oh, this is going to do it, that it doesn't do it.
Right.
But no, I think it's a funny scene because I think it actually kind of resonates because I think a lot of people do things like that when they're like alone and when they're young and they're alone. Yeah. Like, it is like a funny scene and he's good in it. I mean, it is kind of like it's weird to say, oh, that part when he dances in his underwear is really good. But I mean, it could have been a really bad, awkward scene.
Right. And he did a great job with it. There's no doubt.
He's really funny in it too. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that's a really funny movie. I think it's underrated how funny it is.
Oh yeah. Bronson Pinchot and Curtis Armstrong.
Curtis Armstrong's hilarious in it. And it's weird. I loved it a lot. And then when I rewatched it, I was like, oh, this is still really good.
Yeah. You know what? It almost has watching it, like it has an element to another movie that was out a few years later, Ferris Bueller, which I almost feel like Ferris Bueller might have borrowed a little from, just like getting everything okay before the parents got home, which was a big part of Ferris Bueller.
Yeah. It actually really, there's parts of Weird Science that I think lifted from it because Weird Science is a similar thing where the parents are out of town. And then at the end, like, you know, they get this huge party and everything gets messed up. And then the whole thing is at the end, the parents are on their way home and they have to like get everything, like the furniture back. Oh, right.
I remember that. Yeah, I do. Yeah.
That seems right. And then I've seen a couple of movies that are completely have ripped off the plot a little bit. There's a movie called The Girl Next Door with Emile Hirsch, and it's like he meets this porn star who's living next door.
Mm-hmm.
And did you ever see that he gets mixed up with her? And then he kind of gets, he angers like this porn director because he's like dating her and like is going to do a movie or something.
Okay. I don't know that one.
Basically, it's like, it's very similar to, in fact, there's even a scene in The Girl Next Door where they play the exact same song that Risky Business is playing.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like you can tell they're like, they're aware, they're making it clear.
Yeah. I feel like that movie was very, and it's weird because I was reading about the writer director of that movie.
Paul Brickman.
What?
Paul Brickman.
Yeah. He didn't do too much after. He really didn't, you know, this was kind
of. He did a movie with like Chris O'Donnell called Men Don't Leave, Jessica Lange.
Yeah, I remember that movie, but I mean, this was his big hit.
It's weird. He never really did another good thing. It's weird.
And Rebecca De Mornay was very hot. I mean, she was like, she was good in it.
Yeah, she's hot in it. She's good in it. Yeah, it's a good movie. A lot of, you know, actually go online. There's a, I was looking it up today. There's an original director's cut ending that they changed because they said it was too dark.
Oh, really? Risky Business?
Yeah.
Well, what happens?
Do you remember that? Yeah, well, you just saw. First of all, I think the ending they have is perfect. I think it's a really good ending.
Yeah, it's great.
So, because
I like how when he starts buying his stuff back from Joe Pantalone, I thought that was really
that good. Part's fine. But you know, like the very end where like he's eating with her in a restaurant.
Oh, right.
And they're kind of like going through. Remember, he's in like a future enterprise because the whole thing is like. I saw the like director's commentary about it. Paul Brickman, I didn't realize this. It's a very like anti-capitalism movie.
It was a very 80s movie in so many respects. Like that was a Reagan era movie right there.
And he's kind of like, he was very anti that. And he's kind of, the whole movie was about how when you're really young, you haven't been kind of like tainted yet. Like, you know, you're still kind of like pure and innocent. But then when you get old, you know, it becomes all about, especially in that era, it was all about money.
Right.
Because there's a scene in the movie where they're like, oh, you know how much money he's going to make when he gets out of school? You know, this much and this much. And he's like, is that all you guys care about is making money?
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, just making money. And he's like, so then,
you know, always the funny thing is, I always bring this up, is like people always say the '80s, that was the decade where everyone was into money and making money. Right. But that's pretty much every decade.
Right.
I remember
no
the 90s
into
too.
That now.
Yeah. In the '90s, it didn't like stop, you know?
Yeah. I actually use most of my jobs. I don't even bother with charging anything. I'm like, whatever. No, this isn't the '80s. No, I know it's true. Yeah. It just became more, not cliche. I'm like, the, you know, it's like kind
I,
of
I think
like,
it was
like
the first,
chic or something.
I think it was the first time in about 30 or 40 years after the 70s where maybe it wasn't like you really couldn't admit that you were greedy. People were greedy in the 70s. You just didn't want to show off about it.
And yeah.
You could show off.
I think it also just widened the gap between the rich and the poor. That was the, because that's basically what Reagan did.
Oh, if you want to see a great documentary, watch the Reagan documentary on Showtime.
Oh, really?
Oh, it's 4 episodes. It's great. I mean, he's, you know, his son's in it too. His son is like liberal and shit, you know?
Yeah.
His son doesn't trash his dad, but he's like, he just was basically wrong about everything.
Right. But that's kind of when that, and so, you know, Risky Business is right in the middle of that era. So that movie, I didn't realize it until later when he said that, you know, I saw it so young, but yeah, it's basically like a very anti-capitalism movie, because he basically turns into this like money hungry pimp at the end of the movie. And at the beginning, he's very kind of like innocent and he hasn't become this like, you know, full on capitalist. And that's what she is. And and that's like what Guido the pimp is. And so by the end, you can tell he's done like all these kind of horrible things, but he's being rewarded for it, you know? And he's going to become like one of these, you know, rich capitalists who's going to have all this money. She's probably not going to have any money. And, you know, she's going to have like a horrible life. That's kind of, so
well, she was in Hand That Rocks the Cradle.
Yeah. She didn't do, yeah, she didn't have a great, I think it's like harder for women in hockey, obviously.
I think it was a total example of that, where it's two people who were, you know, came out of that movie looking great. One guy became the biggest star in the world and the other one did okay, like, you know?
It actually kind of mirrors what they say in the movie, because in the movie, it's like, it's the assumption is like, he's going to like be very successful.
Right.
And she probably is not going to be, she's going to continue to be a prostitute,
yeah,
and not be successful. And he kind of knows it and she kind of knows it. So at the end they're in the, you know, the restaurant, and then in the movie ending, it came out, they're walking and she's like, what are you going to do tonight? And he's like, I don't know. You want to like hang out?
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah. And he's like, how much money you got on you? So they flipped it from before.
Yeah. She's just saying those lines from.
Yeah. But it's like, and it's like funny, cause it's like the exact conversation, but now he's the one with the power.
Yeah. Yeah.
But in still, the, what?
No, go ahead. Sorry.
But in the original ending, it ends in the restaurant where he's like, you know, I don't want to see you get hurt. And then she looks like really upset. And then he's like, come here. And she like goes over to him in the restaurant and like he hugs her. And mm-hmm. you hear the voiceover and he's like, you know, my name's Joel Goodson. I deal in human fulfillment. I grossed over $8,000 in one night. And then he says like, ain't life grand or something like that. But it ends really like dark.
Oh, all right. Oh, that's interesting.
Meaning like he's kind of... But the thing is, like, I love that movie and like it ends really dark, and he was mad because he wanted to end it on like a negative, you know, commentary about capitalism. But it doesn't fit the rest of the tone of the movie. You know what I mean? Because it's kind of like, I mean, it's like a funny movie. I know it's like, I mean, it's light most of the movie.
It really, I'm shocked at how well that movie held up, because, you know, a lot of those 80s movies, they just don't hold up. But that movie really... You know, you could show, I mean, outside of the haircuts and the, I mean, that story would, I'm kind of surprised they didn't even reboot that movie, because it probably would be an easy one for them to do.
I feel like why, I don't know if you want to, The Girl Next Door was like a very close reboot.
Oh, okay.
It was a very veiled reboot, but it's very similar. He meets she's a porn star, not a prostitute, and he gets mixed up with her, and she kind of like, and he's like a model student. I don't know. Yeah, it's weird. It's very like, it's done very uniquely, so it doesn't look 80s, you know? So. Right.
No, it doesn't. I mean, kind of outside. Yeah, it really doesn't. But.
And it doesn't look like a teen movie. Like, it's not like the teens in it aren't obsessed with getting laid. In fact, he's kind of like afraid to have sex because he doesn't want to ruin his life. He's like concerned with like, getting into college and stuff.
Well, I think that movie nailed like one thing, like how boys are in high school. It's like, you really want to have sex, but you're actually really awkward, you know? And you kind of don't know how to get about it. And you're kind of scared of it a lot. You know, I think that's what that movie got right with the teen sex comedies.
Yeah.
As opposed to like other movies that were just like, may have been funny, but they weren't realistic.
Yeah. At the beginning, there's all these references to like, he won't have sex because he's afraid it's going to ruin his future.
Right.
There's like the scene where he's having a fantasy of like having sex with like the babysitter or something.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
And he's like, and then like all of a sudden his parents are outside and they're like, don't throw your life away. And he's like, oh my God, you know, it's like all his fantasies get ruined by his neuroses.
I know, he can't even jerk off. Like,
without. Right. And he's jerking off, and then they cuts back to him and he like rips his blanket off, 'cause he's so mad. He can't even like jerk off without it being ruined by his like fear.
But it was a star-making movie, and probably he is a star. I mean, you can see that. He may be nuts.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's the thing people – I mean, you know, it's that's why it was interesting watching it. You like – I watched an interview with him like from that time, and they're like, how long have you been acting? He's like, 4 years.
Yeah.
It's like, what? You know, and he's – and they're like, oh, you never studied acting? He's like, no. And I'm like, dude, that's incredible. Yeah. Like, that's like one of the best – like, watching that now – He's hilarious in it.
He is. He's actually, the weird thing about him is that he is funny in movies, like in that Tropic Thunder. Remember that movie?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't love that movie though.
No, but I thought he was funny in it.
I didn't love him in it. I think what happened with him is like he became such a commodity that it just like he was so concerned with his image and how he came off to people.
Sure.
It's kind of funny, a risky business. It's before that. So he kind of is, he's sort of like a dork in it. And it's kind of like cool that he's like, he's playing like himself as like an uptight kind of dorky guy who can't get laid.
No. I really thought it was a great performance. Probably one of his best performances, you know. I don't know why we're talking about this so long, but it is.
I know. Well, I think I'm really fascinated by things, those whole star making performances things. Cause like there's only a few I can think of. Like Eddie Murphy had one.
Yeah.
Like 48 Hours, I think, was kind of like, he was like, that was the first movie he was in. And then all of a sudden he was like a star immediately from that movie.
But there are scenes like that, but like specific scenes. Like I can bring up one scene. This movie wasn't a huge hit, but it got big in cult status. You ever see 10 Things I Hate About You?
I've seen part of it. Heath Ledger.
Yeah. It's reimagining like the Taming of the Shrew or whatever.
Right.
There's a scene where he sings, you're just so too good to be true.
Wait, who sings it? Heath Ledger?
Heath Ledger.
Yeah.
And that apparently made him like a big star because people love that part in the movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So that stuff actually still goes on, where there's a one scene. Maybe we don't notice it sometimes because we're a little older, but like a 16-year-old be like, that turns him into a star.
Yeah. I think Eddie Murphy in 48 Hours, the scene where he's in like the redneck bar was kind of like the star making scene. And then I just rewatched Swingers when I was like away, and that's another one. Vince Vaughn, it was just, he hadn't really done anything. And he's just like, that part just made him a star.
Yeah.
He's so good. And it's weird because like, he's never been like that again. Like, I feel like he was great in that, and then he's never been that good again.
Although he was in that movie that I feel like is very underrated with Favreau, Made. I love that movie.
I watched that right after.
Yeah.
You know what? I didn't like it when I saw it, but rewatching it right after Swingers, I liked it more.
It's fun. But the thing is, he's so overly Vince Vaughn in that movie. He's so obnoxious in that movie.
So annoying. Yeah. I think that's why I didn't like it. Because in Swingers, he's like really cool and like likable.
Right.
But Made is like everyone hates. And sometimes it's too much in Made. You're like, God, this guy's so fucking clueless.
Yeah, I know. But it's still actually a very underrated movie. And the critics did not like it. But I thought it was funny. It's fucking really funny.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. It's funny, too, because I was watching and I was like, oh, Jon Favreau directed this. I'm like, oh, I wonder, did he ever direct anything else? And then I was like, oh, my God. Right.
Like every movie ever.
Well, isn't he like one of the biggest? I mean, he directed like Elf and Iron Man, and he's like a huge director now.
Yeah. And he did now he's doing like the Jungle Books and stuff like that. So he's like the shit. Yeah.
Yeah. I made I hadn't seen it in a while, and it held. I liked it more. Like I liked it better than Swingers. I don't know what. Another movie I just saw that came out recently was Freaky with Vince Vaughn.
Yeah, you were talking about that. Yeah, and last week
it
I think
sucks.
But, yeah, that sucks. Yeah.
we talked about it last time. Yeah. Let's talk about it again.
Well,
so,
you know.
What another thing? All right, so John Mulaney.
Okay.
A big story, I guess. Checked into rehab last week or something. Right. What?
No, you know what the weird thing is? He would talk about how he was an alcoholic, and then he quit when he was 23. And I honestly didn't think. I thought he was making that up to give himself his life more drama.
Yeah,
but it was true. And
yeah,
I never knew
yeah.
it back then, but you did, right?
Yeah, I knew him like when he first started in New York, like because I was friends with Nick Kroll, and like we were kind of in the same scene, and you know, I met Nick when I had like first kind of come back to New York and started doing stand up here again, like 2002, and I think Nick had just started,
right?
And then Mulaney started coming around. I remember Mulaney came around actually. I think it was like the summer between his like junior and senior year of college, because they all went to Georgetown together.
Right.
I remember Mulaney was around, and he was kind of like, like, oh, wow, this guy's good. And then all of a sudden, like a year later, he was just like, everyone was like talking about him because he was so young. But
he was probably good like from early on, right?
He was, I remember seeing him do this like character thing at Rafifi. It wasn't even like, it was this comedy thing, but it was like, it wasn't really stand. It was like a character.
Yeah.
And I was blown away by like, he had been around for like a year and I was like, oh my God, like what the, this is like unbelievable. Right. Like the confidence this guy has and like the presence. And again, it was one of those moments where like, you know, he had just moved, you know, he was just starting out in the comedy scene pretty much. And like after, and I kind of knew him, you know, and I was like, hey man, that was great. You know, it's just funny having a moment of like going up to John Mulaney early on and being like, hey man, that was really good. Yeah. You should really keep going.
Yeah. What?
But I remember this one time because, so I was at Rafifi once and I think he was like wasted and he was doing this thing where he was like, saying something, he would like, I don't know what he was saying. He was saying kind of like obnoxious, like, remarks to me that were trying to be funny. And then he would like push me afterwards kind of for like, to be funny. Cause he thought it was funny. Like he'd be like, let me tell you something, you know, you should go here and do this. All right. Yeah. Get out of here. And then he did it like four times and he was doing it like really hard. And I kind of, you know, like I knew him, but I didn't know him that well. And at one point I was like, dude, stop doing that. And I realized later, I was like, oh, I think he was like, you know, hammered.
Right.
And that was at the time. And then later on, he would talk about, he would get really drunk and be, or he would do coke or to be kind of out of control and act really, in ways that are really embarrassing. And I was like, oh, that must've been what he was talking about. Cause it was kind of one of those moments of like, it went from like not being funny. It went from being kind of funny to being like weird. Where I was like, I feel like I'm about to be in a fight with this guy. Cause he's like hitting me.
Yeah, but in fairness, he was young. He was probably
I wasn't like mad about it. It's funny to think that like, cause later I would hear him talk about, oh, I would get drunk and, you know, do coke and I would be out of my mind. And the next day I would hear about all these horrible things I did. And I was like, oh yeah, that's what was going on.
Well, you know, the thing is that, you know, that, I guess the pandemic got to him because, you know, he was working on Seth Meyers as a writer.
Yeah, I said that to someone. I was like, man, how fucking hard is this business becoming? Like, Mulaney, what?
It's not that. He can do whatever he wants. It's just the thing that now, in the last couple of years, that makes him the most money was stand-up. And that avenue was basically closed to him.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's what I mean, though. Yeah. Like, so...
So, yeah.
So, well, he couldn't tour anymore, right?
Right, tour, so he's alone, probably with his thoughts. And, you know, imagine like also he's rich, you know, you have a lot of free time. You have an addiction problem. It's probably easy to fall back into that.
What I meant is like, it is hard this business now because it's like now, like, you know, those writing jobs are usually like for comedians who are kind of like up and coming or like haven't, you know, don't have a really big name yet. But now you're competing with like Mulaney to get those jobs. You know what I mean? It's like, Jesus Christ. Like, that's insane. Like, oh no, instead we hired like the biggest, you know, comedian in the world.
What are you going to do if the guy calls you up and says, hey, can I write for you for a few?
No, I know. Yeah. I mean, it's actually kind of a smart move. Cause it's like, you know what it's a good job you can do from home and probably, you know, they're probably going to pay him like, you know, out the ass for it.
And you're probably a guy like that. You probably have someone who's like an addict like that really needs structure in their life. And if, you know, this pandemic has taken that away from a lot of people. And
do you think that's kind of what happened? Is that like, that's what I was saying. I was like, oh, this pandemic, it's just being at home and going crazy. And
And you're also rich. So if you're a drug addict, that's not going to be a problem to get drugs at all.
Yeah, totally. It's
never anyway. But I mean, if you're rich, you know, and you're bored, you know.
Yeah, that's got to be a bummer. Because I think he was sober for a while.
Yeah. Plus, you're rich, and so the coke that you get is actually really good.
Yeah. That's really dangerous, though. They say, because like when you have that problem, and then you haven't done it for so long, and then you do it,
mm-hmm.
your body isn't used to it anymore. So the amounts that you take, a lot of times it you know, people OD like that. But I don't know if it's a lot of times that's with like heroin.
Usually heroin. Yeah. But it's none of it's, I mean, good, but you figure that's what happened with him, that he just had a lot of free time. And he, you know, I think there was I know people who comics told me who go to AA and they see famous comics in AA all the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, for comics, a lot of comics that the comedy was replacing the drugs or the alcohol. And when that was gone, they didn't know what the fuck, then they, I guess a lot of them fell back into it or.
Well, and that's the thing too. If like, you know, yeah, if you're like the biggest comedian, you're so busy and you're doing everything and you're like one of the most successful comedians in the world, and then you don't have anything to do, it's a lot harder. Like, cause you're like, well, now what do I do? I have nothing to fucking, is this it? You never know when it's coming back. I mean, yeah, it's scary.
Yeah. And you're like, even if you have that inclination to get high, you're like, oh shit, I got 5 shows this weekend. I can't fucking, do coke. So you have something in your mind prevents you from doing that, I think. And when that's gone, you're like, oh, I'll just do coke.
Yeah. It's gotta be scary for, you know, to be sober that long. And then, I mean, it's what happened to like Geraldo. He was sober for so long. And you know, these guys, it's like no joke, you know, they fucking, it's, you know, that's what's so scary about that. It's always there and they know it, you know? Yeah.
And the one thing about Geraldo, one of the last times I saw him live, he was fucked up on everything.
Really?
Yeah, it was at like the comic strip, and he came in there and I was just about to leave, but I saw him and he was like wasted, really fucked up, coked up or whatever too. So I'm like, I'm going to watch him because it's kind of funny. You don't wish comics bad, but it's funny to see a comic fucked up on stage, especially a famous one.
Yeah.
And he was, but guess what he did on stage? He fucking murdered.
Oh yeah, of course. He
was, I'm like, this guy is awesome. Wasted out of his mind.
I saw this thing, like I saw this article about Mulaney where like a month ago he was on Seth Meyers doing some like Royal Watch thing.
No, I saw that.
Yeah. In the article, they're like, oh, apparently he was out of his mind on drugs. And I watched and I was like, he seems fine. he doesn't seem like, but I don't know. I guess that's, you know, he's still able to pull it off.
That's the problem. When you're so talented that you can do it when you're coked up or high, you know.
And then the other thing, it's got to be. What? Yeah. And when you're in that that world, I think you're surrounded by a lot of people who don't have your best interests at heart, you know, and you're probably surrounded by drugs. Well, it's probably easy to fall into it. And
let me tell you, people will give him drugs for free just to be his friend.
Right.
That's what happened with Farley, you know?
Yeah. There was another one that, he kind of fell off the wagon. It was like a really big deal. I forgot who it was.
Was this recently?
No, because I said Geraldo, and then there was someone else that, I think Mitch Hedberg had that problem too, where he was sober. I don't even know if he ever was sober, but I heard, but towards the end, he was just like on heroin on stage. He was just like falling down on stage. I was going to say Philip Seymour Hoffman. Yeah. That's what happened with him. He was sober for a long time and just, something, you know, set him off and he went back, and then it's just so fucking, his was heroin. So I think that's different, but.
Well, with him, he got a divorce. I think that's what set him off.
Yeah.
So he got a divorce and there was kids. And I think that's, you know, that's what.
Sets yeah. That'll off. Send anyone to do drugs. Yeah. Yeah. No. And I think that they're aware of this, that like, the longer you have your sobriety, I think the scarier it gets, because it's kind of like it's like the higher up you're flying.
Yeah.
And you have that much further to fall. So it's like, you know, and I've thought about that, because I'm not, you know, like I smoked cigarettes here and there, and I never was a big smoker, but every now and then I'll like see someone smoking and I like want it. It's so easy to just have a cigarette. It's right there.
It smells so good too when you walk by it. Some people hate the smell. I love the smell.
So it's like, but imagine if you had that relationship with like Coke or heroin, yeah. Like, and I think if they're so addicted, they don't have, you know, they're not able to like stop, you know what I mean? Like they really, once you get going again, it's really hard to get off of it. So,
yeah. So kids, don't do drugs.
Yeah. So can we, another thing is,
all right, we'll wrap it up soon, but go ahead.
Is, yeah, no, this will be quick. I just wanted to talk about, every movie made in 2020. No. So, Shia LaBeouf, I don't know if this is, did you hear about him? He, now everyone hates him again.
Mm-mm. Well, that's not a surprise though.
Yes, like an ex came out and said that he like abused her or something, and then remember that, you know, that singer Sia,
yeah, he hit her or something.
No, not hit her, but she like said that he like was emotionally abusive and like I don't know, like, you know, she says dragged her into like an adulterous affair, you know, or something like that.
Well, the thing is, when you're Shia LaBeouf and you're insane and people start saying things about you, everyone's going to believe those people because he hasn't proven he's a nut, kind of.
What is that guy's problem? Like, what? It's he is like, it's amazing. His first of all, he's like 34 and he's already had like 9 comebacks. You know what I mean?
I think it's done now. Like, I think that this guy was literally going to be the next Indiana Jones. They were like grooming him for that.
I know. Remember that? Remember when he was like the big guy and like,
but I think his erraticism, whatever.
He's like, he's one of those guys. He's super talented. He just, it's his own worst enemy thing. He has some like issues he never fucking worked out and has never addressed. Like clearly some fucked up shit happened to him in his upbringing that he's just never been able to overcome.
But that's the thing. I mean, it's different with comedians. With actors, it's easy to find actors. So you don't want to, if this guy's going to be a weirdo, you don't want to hire him, you know?
But he must have some, he has some addiction things. Remember he was like getting arrested all the time for like being drunk and like saying like racist things.
Yeah.
But, you know, so he got like kind of blackballed because of that. But then he came back with that movie he made that he wrote that was kind of about his childhood.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like, oh, he's back. He won like awards and stuff. And now this happens and now it's just like he's done again. And this is a really bad time to like, you know, piss off everyone in Hollywood because like there's not a lot going on. There's like 4 things being made. So,
yeah.
You know, it's kind of like, you know, being blackballed in the, you know, the coal industry. You know what I mean? Like, there's just like, there's not a lot being going on.
You got that one mountain. If you blackball from that mountain, that's pretty much it, right? Then in coal.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, what are they? It's just kind of like, so I don't know what, you know, I don't feel bad for him, but he's just so out of his mind. And I really feel the thing that's annoying is they're always like, oh, no one will give me a job in Hollywood. And I'm like, well, where's all the money from the fucking Indiana Jones and Transformers? You did like 4 Transformers.
Oh,
yeah,
I forgot about that. Yeah.
Like you didn't put away like $4 million. Why don't they do that? Why are they always like going broke?
Because they're buying castles like Nicolas Cage. Remember when he was buying castles?
Yeah. Johnny Depp is another one. Apparently he has no money now. Yeah. And like, it's just like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, Johnny Depp was the one who took Hunter Thompson's ashes and fired them off his yacht or something like that.
Yeah.
And he paid $1 million for that. And he's wondering why he's
broke.
How
did that cost $1 million?
You got to buy the ashes.
Yeah, I get it. Are they really that expensive? I guess they are. Yeah, he's another one. It's just like, get out of here. It's interesting to see him like kind of like fall from grace because it's like, wow, it can happen. I feel like he was so beloved. It was like he was never going to have anything bad happen. And he's kind of.
You also get older, though. I mean, it's the thing. People are like, oh, what happened to George Clooney? I'm like, he turned 60. That's what happens, you know?
But he's still around, right?
He is. He just isn't a new movie. But, you know, when you hit a certain age, you're not going to be the fucking box office star anymore. It is what it is. You become a character actor.
I don't even know who's going to be the box office star anymore at all. Like I was reading in like that Wonder Woman made $16 million, and that was like a huge deal. Yeah. Like, it was the most money in the last like year. And I mean, it was made for like $200 million.
They definitely lost on that, but it was like to build up HBO Max. So maybe in the long run, it probably worked for them.
Yeah. So, all right. Anything else? That was our year-end wrapped-up. We talked about Wonder Woman and Risky Business.
That was our weekend wrapped-up for 1983.
Yeah, it's funny. We talked about Wonder Woman 1984 and then a movie about 1983. I will say this is my last thing. It's like 1984 has seemingly, over the years, become this very like iconic year. You know what I mean? Why do you think that? I mean, I guess it started with the book 1984. It already kind of like had that cachet, but now I feel like so many things, like there was an American Horror Story 84 that came out, and then I just saw there's another movie called Summer of 84. So it's kind of become this,
I think it has a lot of like you know, I mean, Reagan was president, times were good, we won the Olympics.
It's right in the middle of
nostalgia
that era
for that. Yeah.
Just funny how 84 was like a lot of things happened, a lot of big things. I was on the Oscars in 1984. There you go. So, you know, that must be why.
I think, you know, it's weird. It's by the end of the 80s, I think people started realizing what a bullshit decade the 80s were. But 1984, everyone thought everything was great. So maybe it was that.
I feel like everyone thinks it's great again.
Yeah, well, everything comes back. People forget. Look, one day people will say Trump's a good president because it'll be 30 years from now and people won't remember anything. So,
yeah, it depends. I mean, I feel like it's already, I think it's mainly Trump's fault, but it's like everyone's forgotten how bad W. Bush was.
Yeah.
People kind of talk about him now like he was, you know, he was not that bad.
You know, one after a Ted Cruz presidency, people will start liking Trump again. So,
yeah, but that's what I mean in retrospect, because so many worse things have happened. You know, like I don't know. I'm trying to think of another example. Like, you know, I don't know. Like Bill Cosby has made a lot of people look a lot better.
Yeah,
does that make sense? Like,
sort of. At least Epstein. Oh no. He made other people look better. Yeah. Epstein made Cosby look better though.
You think so?
Yeah, probably tie. That's a probably.
Yeah. Cosby's pretty like, he's pretty the bottom of the barrel at this point. All right.
All right. Well, that was a good 2020.
Yeah.
you should everyone review this podcast, right?
Rate and review, subscribe. Yeah. Do whatever. Send us messages. Both on Instagram, Tom McCaffrey, 722.
Oh, sorry. Tom McCaffrey, 722, and Eric B. Comic.
So, yeah, some people have sent me messages. Send me a message if you want us to talk about anything. If you want us to talk about some movies, some more recent movies from 1986.
I'm sorry. Risky Business is good. It's on HBO Max, so it's relevant. So.
Yeah, I don't. That movie does kind of, you know, it's a classic, right?
It is. It's really good. I was shocked at how much I enjoyed it. So.
Like, when was the last time you had seen it?
10 years ago, maybe.
Okay, yeah, I used to watch it over. I mean, I probably hadn't seen it in like over 10 years.
But it's underrated movie, I think.
It is. You know what? And it's never really mentioned in like when they do like the top high school movies of all time. It's not really thought of as why I think it transcends the teen genre, because it doesn't seem like a teen movie.
It's not. I think that's
it's not right. Yeah. And it came out right in the middle of the teen movie craze of like the bad teen movie craze.
Right.
But it totally is a high school movie. I mean, like he's in high school and
yeah. I mean, if you feel, you know, he has all the same kind of insecurities as a high school student.
Yeah. It's just, it's different. It's funny. Cause they're focusing on their college entrance, like more than I've ever seen a movie do.
Yeah.
So, all right.
All right. Well, that's 2020. Risky Business is the movie of 2020.
The movie of 2020, that's how bad movies were this year. It was between Risky Business and that is a good indication of how bad movies are, because everything's so fucked up now that you have to go back to 1983 to find movies.
Next week we'll be talking about losing it. Tom Cruise.
I almost watched that too to like compare it, because I think Losing It came out after Risky Business.
I think it was before, actually.
Yeah, I almost want to make a bet.
What?
It was like if it was before, it was like right before.
Because I think Shelley Long's in that movie, and that
she's in it. Yeah,
that's before Cheers. So
no, I don't think it is. I think she had been on Cheers already.
Oh, all right. Well, we'll look it up.
Yeah, that's for next episode. We're losing it.
Then we'll talk about
a terrible movie,
Color of Money. After this, all right. Okay. All right, let's end this.
Thanks, LE2B.
Yeah. All right. That's the episode. I am going to end the episode as soon as I find the thing for.